ready to get started?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Making sure. All right. Well, very, very good evening, everybody. It's 5:30, so we will get this meeting on the way here. I want to welcome everybody, all of our guests, visitors, to our January 27th City Council meeting. And I want to welcome all the staff as well. Good to see you guys and Council. Thank you so much for being here, for being a part of the meeting tonight. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation. Actually, let me open the meeting first, 5:30. Our first item is our invocation. I'd like to see if Councilman Suri wouldn't mind leading us tonight.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the blessings of living in this city and in this country. Lord, as we gather to do city business this evening, we just ask that you be at the forefront in our actions, that we may be open to your direction, and looking forward to just the chance to serve our community as the best we can. Lord, we thank you for all those who serve in many ways, whether it's first responders, staff members with the city, the council, and of course, we thank you for all of our residents. Lord, in this time, we just ask that you be with us in all that we do and all that we say. It is your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. At this time, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all. Thank you. All right, well, we're moving into our public comment time. This is when the City Council invites citizens and guests to address the council on any matter, including any item that's on the agenda. The only exception are public hearings, which will be included at a separate time when that specific hearing starts. We have a couple of those this evening. We ask that you please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R87-11. There's a timer on the screen behind you, and that will be your timer for our comments. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, we ask that you please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, we'd like to ask that you state the item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation. At this time, the floor is open for anybody who'd like to address council. If you'd like to address council, please come to the podium at this time. Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Hi. How are you? My name is Vicki Ralston. I live in Stone Creek Ranch. Do you need the exact address?
That would be great.
718 Stone Creek Ranch Road.
Thank
it's
you.
It's actually considered McGregor. But I come here, as you can see, I play pickleball, and the Family Center is awesome. Good job. I'm a member of the Waco Pickleball Club. We have 165 members. And while this center is really great, we find times where maybe the old Family Center, if we could open that up, would be help the overflow, especially on bad weather days. We seem to get a lot of people from Ridgewood, Waco Tennis Center, and that's great. The social interaction is fabulous. Pickleball has grown like 223% over the last year. This club has 165 members, so it's always busy there. And I've also noticed an uptick in the senior activities. Everybody's really signing up for that. It just seems like we need more room to do everything. And I guess I heard through the grapevine that the city wants to tear that building down. I don't know anything about engineering reports, but it seems like to me it might be easier, more expensive to tear it down than to maybe get a new engineering report, study, I don't know, not an engineer. But it just seems like it'd be a great place to have more socialization and a place to just do things. I think that's my opinion.
Great.
So.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. We get your name, please.
Hi. Sorry, a little under the weather. My name is Van Davis, and my address is 1131 Heatherwood Drive. So I would be in Hewitt. And I'm just here to, first of all, I am the newly formed Waco Pickleball Club president. And I would like to correct Vicki, but now we have 190 members, and we just formed the club less than 2 months ago. So as you can see, pickleball, if you don't already know, is the fastest growing sport in the United States and in the world. And this trend is going to continue to get bigger and bigger. And I feel that Waco and Hewitt and Woodway and Robinson, this is going to continue to grow, and right now we do not have a lot of place to play. So I would like, again, to consider if the building was going to continue to stand, what a better place for us to be able to gather the community, not only in Woodway, but a surrounding community, to come play pickleball, but not just for seniors, but maybe for all ages. And I think there's a need for that. And if the building was going to be teared down, I would like to have you all consider to replace the current facility with 4 outdoor pickleball courts. And that will serve the community greatly, and the upkeep is 0 to none. Then in addition to that, Whitehall Park right now has 2 tennis courts, and also you can play pickleball there as well, but it's not a designated pickleball courts. With 1 tennis court, you can convert that into 4 pickleball courts. So if we could take just 1 tennis court at Whitehall Park and put in 4 designated pickleball courts, that would be greatly served to our community, because there's only 2 courts at Whitehall Park and 1 in Waco that people can play outdoors. Yes, Waco Regional has their courts, but you have to pay money, and it's a long ways for most of us. So please consider that. And with our group, anything that we can do to help with to make some of the things that we've said into a reality, we would love to be able to assist with that effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anybody else? Yes, ma'am. If we could get your name and address, please.
Allison McCain, on 1656 Cherry Creek Drive, right down the road, right here in Woodway. I don't usually speak at these things, but I thought with what's been said, you've heard there are a lot of seniors who have loved the program here at Woodway. I know I've read in, I wish I had the newsletter that you even have the stats of how much it's grown, how much the seniors have really loved this program, and that now we even have to have a racket system, a paddle system, tennis player, paddle system that people are constantly waiting to, all the time to play, which is what the social aspect is of the game. But, you know, we talk about this, we represent a lot of the seniors here, but I'm also going to tell you that there are a lot of kids in my neighborhood, just right down here on Cherry Creek, that I can tell you 5 homes on my block. I was doing a dog walk the other day, and 5 houses, their grandparents had brought them pickleball nets just to set up in their driveways so that the kids could play. And I asked them where they play, and they said, we don't really know where to go to play because there's no place for the kids to play. So there's really not a kids' place either, and I tell them, you know, there's certain times you can come in, maybe here. There's kids' programs. There are homeschoolers in my neighborhood, about 3 or 4 families that participated in the homeschool program that Van has put. I think it's Van. You put it together? And they're very interested in this. So it's having another facility that could be used throughout the day, because you have so many seniors, you have students who want to play after school. You have homeschool students who want to play during the day for their PE credit. So I really think it can go across a real large age group that this has been a wonderful sport. And for me, I was an ex-tennis player, hadn't played in 20 years, and thought, what am I going to do? At 60 years old, now what am I going to do? So one day I just said, I'll go try this pickleball thing. I fell in love, and it just brought me back to life again, that there are so many people out there, I think, that can get so much more out of this. And Woodway has just contributed so much to bringing people out of their homes, socializing, and really, I think there's a need for more of it. And we've really enjoyed it. And the program you've offered and opened and the facility you've opened has been just unbelievable. And I'd like to thank you for that.
So. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, if we can get your name and address.
I'm Karen Calvillo. I live at 400 Charleston Park, right around the corner. I mean, everything everyone has said, I'm a pickleball player too. I started a year ago and fell in love. I have grandchildren that would love to play. Thank you so much for the Family Center, because I'm recently retired. I get to take advantage. But when I wasn't retired, it was very difficult to find a court to play on. So we have gone to Whitehall. There's not a reservation system, so you show up. And sometimes you sat and waited for an hour for someone else to finish. So I would like to lobby a little bit for more outdoor courts as well. And I agree with Allison just about needing more time for people that are working and children. That would be great. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you to all of our citizens and guests who participate in public comment. Moving on to our presentations at this time, the next item is our semi-annual presentation on the Carling Bright Arboretum and Pavilion. All right, Ms. Lindsay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Hope you're all doing well. Superintendent Jack Stanley is sick, so I'm going to be presenting over the Arboretum for him. Oh, so sorry. Okay. So the first thing, the restroom for the children's area is complete. Very exciting. It's been put to use, so that's great. Winter planting is also complete. We are planning on starting the spring planting in March once it warms up a little bit. The children's area sidewalk addition is complete as well as the overflow parking. That is about 95% complete now. We have our crosswalk painted. Pretty much we're only waiting on the signage for the crosswalk and then just like parking signage so people know how to use it. We did receive a new truck, which has been put to great use already. And then we have restained the Arboretum signs as well. I don't know if you have any questions about that. I will answer them to the best of my ability.
That's good.
Okay. All right, the Pavilion and Discover Woodway. Maybe. Oh, I'm so sorry. Should I be pointing it to a specific?
Yeah, light touch.
I'm going to wait a second. Maybe I pushed it too many times.
There you go.
Okay.
You got it.
All right, so the father and daughter dance, we are doing two nights this year, and they both sold out within 24 hours. And that's even with opening up more spots. Once we saw the response and how quickly everything was selling, we decided to open up a few more spots for both nights, and they both sold out. The theme this year is Under the Sea, so we're really excited about that. We have George's Catering. Wallace Sound is going to be our DJ. It's going to be a fun night. And then this year we had a throwback concert. We estimated about 65 to 75 guests at this concert. We had members only. It's an 80s tribute band. It was a lot of fun. We had some food trucks out there. It did start to rain just a little bit, but that did not deter a lot of people from coming out. With that being said, we are planning a lot more concerts, especially in the summer season coming up, so we are very excited about that. We had our wine fest that was also sold out. It was a wine tour de France theme. We had 12 select wines that our guests could choose from, as well as samples from Rio Brazos, JD's Catering, and Olive Branch. And then we also had a All Hallows Groove concert the same day as the Cops and Kids drive-through. Even with the event happening down at Activity Park, we did have a great turnout of 100 guests, roughly. We had Suede come out, that jazz funk band that we've had before. They're great. The community seems to have a great response to them playing. We also had some food trucks and then a costume contest as well. And then we had our veterans breakfast. We estimated about 120 guests. We had Midway Band come out and do the Armed Forces medley. Holly Tucker came out to sing for us. And then we had Brad Livingstone and Pete Sessions come out to speak. And then our Very Merry Woodway Christmas was a lot bigger than we anticipated, which is awesome. We had about 2,000 guests come and go. We knew that it was going to be a lot bigger this year, but we did not anticipate just how big. We had Santa. We did have the Grinch, thanks to PD. We had some food trucks, a vendor market with reports of sales being phenomenal. We had crafts, a train ride, movies, hot cocoa, cookies, a lot of fun activities for families to enjoy. And we had a lot of great responses about that event. We're excited to see how much bigger we can go with it. So we also have worked on a lot of Arboretum programming, and that is expanding quickly as well. We had our Arboretum Explorers Camp this past summer. We had about 20 campers come out to learn about nature, conservation, bugs, animals, about the Arboretum, and we had a lot of fun activities for them. They learned a lot. There are some brilliant kids in the area. We also have our monthly farmers market that is also going well. We had pumpkin painting down at Whitehall Patio in the fall season. We had Veterans Day letters inside of Whitehall where kids and families could come out and write letters to veterans. We have a monthly story time the first Wednesday of the month at 10 a.m. inside of Whitehall. We also have sunset yoga once a month. This month it is rescheduled for January 30th, and that's at 5 p.m. inside of Whitehall to accommodate for the cold weather. We also have guided tours that our Arboretum staff host. We have nature walks and field trips. A lot of schools in the area come out for those. We had letters to Santa, where we got letters for Santa from kids. And then we had ornament making down at Whitehall, gingerbread house, date night at Whitehall as well. And there's much, much more to come. Madison, who is our programming manager, is doing a phenomenal job of really scheduling a lot of fun things for the community. Do you have any questions on any of that?
Not really a question, but just a comment. Thank you for doing two father-daughter dances.
Yeah, absolutely.
That really made a lot of people who aren't able to get tickets very happy to
right.
have those two nights. So
right. Yes.
Thank you for doing that. That
yeah,
was
absolutely.
A really good call.
We're happy to.
And on your wine fest, we yes, might want to think about having that maybe in two nights.
Yeah.
Or maybe have that where we have enough chairs for the tickets sold.
Right.
We do have the oldest population mm-hmm. average out of all the cities in McLennan County.
Yeah.
And we didn't have enough chairs for
right.
the people.
We're looking into, because it is a standing event, we do have the VIP tables that we sell tickets for, so we are looking at adding some more tables to that event, or possibly even hosting it for two nights.
We used to have enough chairs for everyone in years in the past, and then this last year it seemed like we cut down the tables a lot and made it more standing only.
I'm sorry, we actually added tables this year, so I'm not sure
from years past it's less.
Okay, well we can look into that and definitely add some more tables.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay, any other questions for Ms. Gomez?
Y'all are doing an incredible job and are very responsive to the community, so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm very excited to see those other things that you've got in the works.
Yeah, absolutely,
really,
we're excited
really
about it too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so
it very much. Next up is our semi-annual presentation from the Woodway Family Center. So over to Mr. Rogers. It is.
Mayor, Council, City Manager, thank you all for allowing me to present tonight. We've been busy, really busy over the last 6 months. I want to start off with our mission statement. Our mission statement at the Family Center is to provide a gathering place for inspiration innovation, wellness, and fun, and I do believe we are delivering on that every day. So I'm going to go through a couple of slides here, but first, I just want to say thank you to everybody here that came tonight. Appreciate. I didn't know y'all were coming, but thank y'all for showing up. Well, I love the support. These guys are fantastic. So moving to the first one. So we did obtain a senior sponsor. So Essential Living Providence Village stepped up in a big way and has continued to step up. So not only with their financial contribution for their sponsorship, they have given me access to dietitians, nutritionists, nurses. They were responsible for the Dementia Live class that we put on in the previous update. Chef Jessica, a chef that not only did they provide her, but they provided the food to come out and teach these classes at no expense to us. They are just an invaluable partner in what we're doing right now. So loving this relationship. They're doing a great job. So moving to senior programming attendance, I'm not going to read this entire chart to you. I want to highlight a few things. I'm going to start with just our year-to-date total. I'm sorry, that should say six-month total. So for the last 6 months, we have seen 5,486 folks come through. Those may be repeat people coming back every day, multiple times a day in some cases. Some people don't leave. Some people stay until we tell them they got to go. And we love it when they do that. But there's several classes here to note. Before I go any further, Van, I'm sorry, I'm going to embarrass you. Do you mind standing? So Van Davis, her organization is Be Awesome Now. Van teaches four of our classes, four of our most popular classes. And these are the classes that have really driven community. It's not just... I don't know how to describe what we're seeing, but there is community being built, relationships being established, and it's bigger than just coming and taking an exercise class and just coming out to have a little fun. There's a true community being built there. All these faces here, they know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
awesome. Thank you, Van.
Thank you. Another one to note, Better at Last with Dr. Teresa Gingles. 480 folks coming out to that class. It has been growing tremendously. And so that's another great partner that we have, trying to get her to come out and do classes more frequently and whatnot. She's very busy. So hopefully we'll be able to bring her on board more. What you don't see with this is how does this fit in the space? And some folks that spoke earlier did talk about, yes, we do have space issues, whether it's pickleball or some of our other classes. We've had to move the most popular classes to the gym floor, unfortunately, and they're going to be kind to me. It did take away from a little pickleball time to make that happen, but those classes, the size of them are anywhere from 20 to 40 people attending those classes in that time frame. Typically in that time for pickleball, it's a light crowd, so we'd see maybe a dozen folks. So I think the moving them to the gym floor, it did benefit us in a great way. A lot of the classes you see with the large numbers, those are classes that do incur expense for instruction, for materials, supplies, and things of that nature. Some of the classes that you see that have lower attendance, those are usually staff-led or volunteer-led, cards, games, dominoes, those classes that don't require much expense or any at all. We're not seeing a lot of traction on those, so we're focused on how do we build that. We just hired a new programming coordinator who is focused on how do we build these, how do we make them better, how do we make people want to come to those classes as well. Move into the next slide. Here's just some pictures for some of our classes. We see Van again, Chef Jessica on the top right. She was teaching a class on how to bake a homemade apple pie. And each participant not only got to learn, but also got to take a pie home with them. All that was provided through our senior sponsor. On the top left is, that is Arts and Crafts by Rhonda. Those folks put together a mosaic Christmas tree for the holidays, and they pictures too zoomed out. You can't see it, but those were beautiful. Some more Van classes, and yeah, everything that there is Van. But the community, she takes good pictures too, so yeah, she does that. some of our partners besides Be Awesome Now, we have Better at Last with Teresa Ingles, Rhonda Menez, who's our craft instructor, still utilizing the lofts as a Rainy and Rainy for different classes. We have a class coming up next month. Heart of Texas Council of Governments provides the Matter of Balance class, which is a grant-funded program, which we fill up every time. We've been told we've been using them too much and that they have to spread out their classes amongst the seven counties. So we won't see them as frequently, though, that there's demand for that class. The Area Agency on Aging, Texas Department of Human Services, National Retirement Academy, and the Grandson Home Care. Those are all partners we've worked with to have some of the classes over the last 6 months. So year to date, since April, let me say that, since April, so 9 months, senior programming has seen 7,132 people come through to participate.
Wow.
Very, very staggering. We're on pace. I budgeted and planned for 5,000 visitors over the course of 12 months. So we're going to exceed that greatly. So our programming calendar for seniors, I'm estimating to be about 85% full in terms of available time and space for classes. Unfortunately, I am about at 100% of my budgeted capacity for instructors, so I won't be able to add anything. It is pretty full. I think you've got a copy of it there. There's some times that we can add some stuff, and I'll be looking for other partnerships that can come in and provide expense-free classes to fill up some of those empty spaces. We are starting to see, and I have to say, our staff, I don't know how many more classes we can add with the staffing levels that we have. Again, we did have a little turnover and hired a new lady. I expect to have her up and running this month. She's been a great addition for the last week and a half. Events, we've held a Thanksgiving lunch, and I think that's where I really started to see that community being built. That was an amazing event, and we look to have more events like that. That one again every year, but more events like them. Family Center staff also participated in a Elder Fraud and Abuse Conference, which is an annual conference, which we will be participating in again. We also did a senior survey, which is really confirming what we're seeing in at the Family Center. The when you go back to the participant levels, the folks that responded are asking for more of those classes, more frequently, different times. A lot of good information in that's helping us make further plans. I can forward that to Donna if you guys would like to see that survey. So youth sponsorship, we did obtain a youth sponsorship. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers came through. We were originally offering 5 league sponsorships where we were looking for one company to sponsor a baseball league, one to sponsor a basketball league, and so on. Cane's came to the Family Center and said, we'd like to be your sponsor. And I said, absolutely. Which league would you like to sign up for? And they said, we'd like to sign up for all of them. And so we worked out an arrangement where they've sponsored all the leagues for the next year. With that, we get a lot of things. Obviously, free food, yes. We get free tea, lemonade for a lot of our events. They're doing a Coaches Eat Free program for our coaches. We do fundraisers there at Raising Cane's, where we do our uniform pass out. So everybody has to come get their uniforms. While they're there, we encourage them to have dinner, and part of that proceeds comes back to the Family Center. Looking to do up to 10 of those, though I might have been a little bit ambitious on looking at 10. So it might be 6 to 8 realistically. So on to youth programming. For the last 6 months, we've had 5,598 people come through to participate in our youth programming. Now, what that doesn't represent are the spectators. So that number does not include moms, dads, grandparents, siblings that come through. I don't have a way to track that. But that is also a significant increase from the last number I have was 2018, and I think they were pushing close to 4,000 for a 12-month calendar year. So we're exceeding that already. There is a big bump, and you'll notice on facility rentals in December, we held a volleyball tournament. Actually, we were a host site for the Greater Waco Sports Commission. They had a Syntex Challenge volleyball tournament. 190 teams from across the state came in. We hosted 35 of those teams here over the course of a weekend. So we had about 1,000 people each day walking in the building. We were able to see what that building can really do, and it did very well. We were very pleased with that event. So we'll look to do some more of those. I'd like to maybe even dabble into hosting our own. Those are great revenue generators and offset a lot of our expenses. Other things to note, Open Gym, you see the tail end of Open Gym in the summer. It tapered off from 659 to 288. We opened up for November for a little bit around the Thanksgiving, and then again in December around Christmas. We didn't see as many people come through on the weekends, but I'm sorry, on to the holidays, but we do see a capacity limit. We had about 70 kids running wild and free in that gym without organized sports, and that is an interesting few hours whenever we do that. So we'll figure out some ways to make that a little smoother. But again, it's popular. Open Gym in July was so big because it was every day when we just had select days in the holidays.
I'm sure June will be as well.
I expect it. We will open up Open Gym, for spring break for that week, and then we'll have back in the summer. So I expect it to be full. I can't remember. I want to say July was just a little below June, so it kind of tapered off a little bit. So we also held a pickleball tournament, and that was not a youth nor a senior pickleball. It was for all ages, and so Van did a great job of taking care of us. I think we had, am I wrong, in 50 people approximately participate in that, a little bit more than that. So we look to do more of those tournaments. Events, we had Cops and Kids that we participated in. We had a bicycle rodeo, and that was a pretty fun event for about 30 kids that came out. Everybody got a free bike helmet that was donated to us. We've also participated in several Canes fundraisers. Community engagement, something that we're doing at the Family Center, is finding ways to engage the community outside of the building. So we've participated in three, the KW Chicks food drive, which a lot of our departments participated in. Donna set that up, I believe. I think we did through you. Anyway, we participated in that. I think we gave 1,400 to 1,500 pounds of food to that food drive. We also participated in a pet food drive. And a Toys for Tot drive. We're looking at our next one to be, there's a local nonprofit that helps foster kids, and so there's a lot of needs in the foster world here in the community. So we're going to be doing a drive, whether it turns out to be just diapers or clothing. We haven't got the details on that, but we're going to help them soon. We look to do one every few months, some way to give back to our community. And with that, I'll take any questions you may have.
On your youth programming, it looks like you have basketball league in July and August, and then two down, you got basketball league again in December. I bet you that's supposed to be baseball league, right?
No. So we did a summer. We did a summer baseball basketball league, and then, okay. And the reason we did that was because of the timing of opening the facility. I wanted to open with an indoor league. Fresh out of April, so we went from baseball into a what we call a summer basketball league. I don't think we will have summer basketball going forward. It'll always be a winter sport, a cold weather sport, so all the kids are inside. But good observation, we did have two basketball leagues.
So did we not have any, or did we have the baseball before July?
Yeah, baseball had ended. It ended in June, so that was a part of the
T-ball, I guess.
Yeah, T-ball and coach pitch. That was part of the last presentation.
Okay. Well, on your senior program, it looks like Van Davis accounts for about 80% of the people coming through.
it's probably closer to 100. There's a lot of great folks, and Van definitely leads the charge.
I was wondering, with that pretty big increase, it's been a while since I was at the Family Center playing pickleball, but I loved it when I had the chance, time-wise. But it looks like it's been growing exponentially.
It's growing, yeah.
And my question is, Would there be much involved to make available the old family center for the expansion there with that kind of growth?
Is that a trick question? There are some things that it would definitely take to just open it back up to get pickleball in there. Pickleball? Yeah, the courts aren't set up for that. They need to be, there's several things, HVAC issues. Just to open it up as is, you'd still incur some expense to make that happen. We're not striped for pickleball in that facility. All that could happen, but I've been patiently waiting for a decision. So
how much does it cost to stripe a court?
Oh, I haven't priced it, so I couldn't tell you.
$300.
Oh no, it's probably north of that. I can't get a guy to
come. Man knows.
I promise you, if the answer is yes, we can use that, we can get it up and going.
So we can use volunteers?
For free.
To do
volunteers,
it for free.
Volunteers, we can get people to donate. We need their name on the wall, and that's it. That's what we did at the church.
Wonderful.
And, I mean, seriously. And we've got manpower to come in, clean it up, do whatever we need to.
Perhaps you can get a sheet with some contact names of key people that, you know, might be able to coordinate on something like that.
Pretty sure we already have that.
Yes. Thank you.
I probably get a phone call, email, or just someone grabbing me once every week or two about saying, can we open it up? And of course, one of the things I hear the most was, it was fine when we closed it about a year ago, and they would be happy if someone just turned the key on and turned on the power. I know there might be some issues that might need to be repaired, and I know the council kind of talks about, oh, we might need a new engineering report versus the one from 2019. But it almost seems like we could slow go it, get it open, get some overflow going. I think Mayor Pro Tem Williams said it best in the parks meeting. If the courts are there, or if the space there, I'm sure it'll get used. Yeah. I think you said it something to that effect. It just seems like you've done such a wonderful job at filling this space. And like you had mentioned about the rentals, if we had a slow time, I know there's some private schools that would like to rent it, you know, as their gymnasium some days. I think that we can probably fill it, though, with pickleball people in itself. Some of the items that we had in the senior program that are really slow, and I feel for it because it can be slow, but we have some elderly gentlemen in our Bible study that talks about they've came a few times, but it is a hard walk. They've got their handicap sticker, but it's still a hard walk. And one of them did used to go to the senior center in the old building. And he said, oh, if we could still use that, I could make it in there. So, you know, if we was to open it up, you know, maybe some of these social hour card games, what was some of the others that were dominoes, that we just don't have much going on that might be geared to people that have mobility issues, we might see a big increase. The reason we're seeing such good output on these others is we have seniors that are still in great shape and keeping themselves in good shape and can walk that 100 feet up to the building and then walk into
it. Certainly. And that's one of the goals we have with those social classes. And now one of the things that we started visiting other senior centers that I definitely wanted to add to ours was the ability to take somebody who isn't as mobile. Now, some folks who are wheelchair-bound or have other disability, these classes won't work for. But the goal is to take somebody who isn't as mobile. Maybe they come in for the social class, playing cards, and I get them introduced to a low aerobic class. They start coming into a chair yoga class, something that they can't do. We have stick fit drumming where you sit down and take some drumsticks and beat on a ball for a mute. You know, it's fun, but it's also exercise. Yeah. And we see those folks graduate into the next level of class. They come for better at last. Then they start showing up for strength and stretch, which is a more higher impact. And so you start to see them. So that is a goal. We want them to come. We want them to grow.
You're doing a great job. You just need more space.
Mr. Rogers, going just going to the senior programming numbers, congratulations, by the way. I think the attendance numbers here have exceeded our expectations, at least my expectations for senior programming. I mean, that's really, really impressive.
It's really impressive. By none of my doing, guys.
I know.
This is y'all's vision and this community's desire. Those are the two things.
Really good. By the way, Van Davis was my fitness instructor when I was at Baylor for many, many years. So not for many years. Not that long ago.
I don't know if you.
But she was also really, really
good. Some more. I might need to too. We both need to get in fit.
Why don't you just talk about yourself?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I was saying we looked about
anyway,
the
anyway, Mr. No, we really don't. But Mr. Rogers, the senior programming, the DNM, that means did not make, right?
That's correct.
So how...
or did
I
not.
See,
yeah, go ahead.
Or didn't get enough.
It wasn't scheduled. Some of them weren't scheduled that month.
Yeah. So why don't... like, how many... I see that, like, for example, there's one class here that had did not make for months.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you reevaluate, readjusting the schedule and maybe allowing more pickleball time or allowing more, mm-hmm. more time in that?
So thankfully I can justify all of the pickleball time that I've taken away from these fine folks with the strong numbers. So I can justify that. So the classes that aren't meeting, that so it says did not meet, some of them didn't even get created until that particular month. So in particular, I'm sorry, let me go back because my copy is terribly small.
Yeah.
So Chef with Cooking with Chef Jessica, we didn't even, that was November was the first class, so it didn't meet, but we do intend to continue it. Where else? Stick Fit Drumming, same thing. We didn't start it till September. Dominoes, we just hadn't had anybody. Tech with Cody, we have a faithful too.
So what point do you reevaluate whether or not to adjust the schedule?
So we were looking for some direction with our senior survey that we did to kind of give us some direction and input. So we've already started that reevaluation. I would like to see 12 months of data. Some of them, I don't want to give up on because I don't know if we gave it our best. One of the obstacles that Mr. Russell pointed out is the ability to get to the class. I've heard we don't have the right kind of tables for some of the games that they like to play. So maybe it's an investment in some more tables, more equipment. Yeah, so I'm leaning on that. Now, what else?
Because I noticed on here that pickleball really spiked in December.
Mm-hmm.
For your highest attendance of the 6 months.
Yeah, it's definitely the holidays. So we saw, we do have some folks. So one thing that also spiked it in December, we allow the adult children of seniors to come in and play with their, or grandkids, come in and play with their family member. So that was a part of the spike because you were getting people that normally were in your audience because they were out either for vacation or school was out. So that spiked it. Weather drove a lot of that. The colder weather, people want to play indoors. I think Vicki mentioned the Regional Tennis Association. So that's outdoor play. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when they've learned of our facility, so they've definitely been coming.
Okay, that's really what I wanted to ask was about the scheduling and seeing if those did not makes or did not meets really need to be on there anymore.
It's
been several months without any activity.
So. I agree with you. Some of them may be a once-a-year program, but I wanted to show it to you and that we did have it. But we don't want to let things just fester or sit where they're not,
yeah.
I guess, their downtime. But I'm not ready to give up on all of them yet. Bingo started off with nobody, and we went several months without bingo. So now we're seeing a consistent crowd, and that is a lot of fun. So we'll keep plugging away, finding ways internally to make those classes better. If they don't make it, they don't make it.
Great.
So.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
With your numbers, how can anybody complain?
Well, we always want more, right? We want to find. I'm like that too. So I want to find better ways to improve what we do, even
like
the classes.
Versus what we had in 2018 before COVID, this is a bonanza.
Yeah, it's definitely exceeding expectations.
And I think some of the reason is because of all this senior activity is practically doubling that and some of the other things you're doing. So it's a wonderful, pickleball is just a fabulous thing.
Yeah, it's fun. Lots of fun. It's addictive.
Anything else for Mr. Rogers?
Thank you. Look forward to next time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good job.
All right, Council, we're moving into our public hearings and related action. Item 6A is a public hearing on application to develop and site development plan in a plan district, a bank building, being all of that called 0.808-acre, Tract 2, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20230282800 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas, and all of that called 1.56-acre tract, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20220483357 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas, and Lot 1, Block 1 of the James E. Taylor Edition, and Lot 2, Block 1 of the Haley Drake Edition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9205 Oak Creek. The time is 6:16. I will open the public hearing at this time. Is there anybody to speak in favor of this application to develop and site development plan? All right, there being none, is there anybody to speak against? Okay, thank you. There being no one to speak on this item, I'll close the public hearing at 6:17 p.m. Moving on to item 6B, discussion and consider action on application to develop in a planned district, bank building, being all that called 0.808-acre Tract 2, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20230282800 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas, and all that called 1.56-acre tract, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20220483357 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas, and Lot 1, Block 1 of the James E. Taylor Edition, and Lot 2, Block 1 of the Haley Drake Edition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9205 Oak Creek. Whew. All right. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I don't have any additional comments on this. It's something that has been working through the system for a while. The only additional thing briefly I would add is the Planning and Zoning Commission granted an exception on January 14th this year regarding the off-street loading or incidental delivery space. City staff has requested that the applicant be present to answer any questions from the council. The plans have been received by the city engineer and city staff and found to be in compliance. City Council is scheduled to review the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation and take final action here, January 7th, 2025.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Council, any questions for Mr. Manager or the applicant who's here? I see Mr. Vickers back there.
I've got a couple of questions for the applicant. I believe when planning and zoning...
Do you want him to come up here?
Yes, if it's right. Okay.
If we could get your name and address, please, sir, and then we'll ask some questions.
Sure. Darrell Vickers, 524 Stone Canyon Drive, McGregor.
Thank you. When planning and zoning was approving it, they were talking about the trash can location, and he was getting approval from the dry cleaners to for them to be able to have the trash can emptied on their business. I think at the time you said you was in the process of getting that approval. Have you got that approval yet?
Chris, I don't know if we've got anything officially back yet from the dry cleaners, but yes, the documentation and everything for the right of access easements and everything is going through the process of.
Have you got a verbal agreement on it yet, or something saying that you do it, that that's okay?
I think we have had talked to them on several different occasions. I believe that there is a verbal agreement with respect to them allowing that to take place.
Okay. Also, there's a driveway that feeds into the pet store next to it. I think he was getting a agreement on that, too. You got that?
That one has not taken place just yet. I think that one is probably still coming. We're showing it because that is the desire, but at this point in time, that one has not necessarily been fully vetted with the owners of the pet store at this point in time. So
we've got two items on here that needs to be vetted by the owners of two different businesses, but we would be giving you final approval on this. Is that correct?
John, do you have any additional?
Oh, yes, thank you. We did speak, and without the dumpster would be out of compliance without that agreement, and we wouldn't let them, they would not be able to get a CO or anything without that agreement in place. If I'm not mistaken, the other one, if they wanted to make a driveway at the other one, there's no egress agreement because there's not, it's not technically a road right there. So if they just finished it in that fashion, it wouldn't, there's multiple exits off that property, so that agreement's not really something that we would concern ourselves with. It'd be a convenience for customers, not a requirement of the ordinance at this time.
Okay, but if we approve this, we're approving the plan that's here. Are you saying that we would approve the final plan, but there would be options on whether or not these other entities, if they don't approve, if they don't go along with the trash can being picked up from their business, or the driveway going in from their parking lot?
So again, the trash can, yes, we won't let them occupy that building until they have that agreement in place. If not, I guess if it wasn't to work out, they would come back. We'd have to revisit the design. And I think their understanding of that, I think we spoke about that right at P&Z. But yeah, without that agreement, the dumpster would be out of compliance for the ordinance.
And the driveway?
The driveway, like I said, there's multiple exits from that property. And so, like I said, if they were to finish that as a driveway and that pet store came and put a fence up, it would not affect that property. I don't think that's an important part for us as far as the ordinance goes. There's no ordinance that says they have to have multiple exits from the property. So if they finished it that way, I don't think as far as the ordinance goes from city staff, that would not be a concern for an agreement for that.
Yeah, because it's just the trash can.
Yes, because that is in the ordinance. The trash can is in the ordinance.
Tell me again what the heartburn is with the trash can.
I'm saying?
What's the issue with the... we're talking about the trash can, right?
The trash can would have to be emptied from the dry cleaner side. They have asphalt driveway, so you have a heavy truck going in versus having a concrete driveway on the
But you're not going to issue any kind of CO unless they have an agreement for that.
Yes, sir. This would not be the first time we've had this. So basically, the trash can and the enclosure, which is all compliant, is going to be located on the bank's property. The only access to it will be from the dry cleaner's property.
Right, okay.
So we've had several people try this on other properties, but this is the agreement. From what I've been told, there's a trash can that's there now that's the dry cleaner's, and it's been on the bank's property for a long time. That's what's making it, from what we've been explained, it makes the agreement easier because they were already kind of off their property to begin with, and so they've made... That's why you'll notice on your plan set that the dumpster enclosure is two dumpsters. So there's enough room for two dumpsters encompassing their dumpster as well.
Okay. Mr. Shaw, is there any issues?
I haven't reviewed this plat, so I'm going to rely on John for plat compliance. If that's your question.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's just recommendations from the city. I'm assuming that John's saying that the city recommends us approve it because of the way it's structured. Even though this hasn't been worked out, it will be worked out before the CO happens.
Yes, sir. We're aware of the agreement that needs to be.
Or they'll have to change the design, right, John?
They can definitely do that.
That's an option that they would have. They would have to go back to change the design. So it would behoove them to say, if we can't make this deal work, we got to go back to the driving board. So I wouldn't do any construction until I got this agreement in place.
Right.
And I would assume that that's what you all are going to do, is make sure that you have this in place. But it is the most expedient way to get trash out of there.
Right.
Since you've had this relationship in the past, it's highly likely that you'll be able to come up with this agreement. And if you've already started the paperwork for this, my assumption is that everybody is pretty much in agreement with it. And I understand your trepidation in saying, yes, we have an agreement, because it's not pinned yet.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, the bank building's beautiful.
Thanks.
Just those two issues was the only thing I had. And if the city's recommending, you know, it's fine.
All right, Council, if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion on item 6B, please.
I move that we approve the request of an application to develop.
It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. All right, the ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, thank you, Mr. Vickers. Item number 6C is discussion and consider action on site development plan in a planned district, bank building, being all of that called 0.808 acre tract 2, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20230282 80 of the official public records in McLennan County, Texas, and all of that called 1.56 acre tract, described in a deed to First National Bank of McGregor, recorded under instrument number 20220483 57 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas, and lot 1, block 1 of the James E. Taylor edition, and lot 2, block 1 of the Haley Drake edition, to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 9205 Oak Creek. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, anything else on this site development plan?
No, Mayor. No further comments.
Council, any questions on the site development plan?
I think we worked it out.
Yeah.
Well, that was the application. This is the development plan. All right, if there's no further discussion, I'll hear a motion on item 6C, please.
I recommend that we approve the request of a site development plan.
Recommend or move, Councilwoman?
Oh, sorry. I move.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved.
For reading.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Norman.
Oh, thank you, sir. I would like to say there is an exception on the table for the site development. If you want to mention that, there's an exception for the loading space and that P&Z recommended approval for in the motion.
And the reason for that is they don't need a loading dock because it's a bank. They'll bring in the money through the front door.
Does that need to be included in the motion?
I think so.
Okay. However you want to say it.
Well, I move that we accept the site development plan with the requested variance, or with the
exception.
With the exception.
Got it. Thank you, Councilwoman.
Mm-hmm. I will second that.
Seconded by Councilman Suri. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right, thank you guys very much. That's all our business tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number 7. This is discussion and consider action on entering into an interlocal agreement with the cities of Waco, Hewitt, Lacey Lakeview, and Bellmead in Household Hazardous Waste Day on March 22, 2025, or as rescheduled by the City of Waco, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Could I get a motion to discuss this?
I'll make the motion to discuss.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments on number 7, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The background information on this item is that the City of Waco is once again holding its annual Household Hazardous Waste Day. That'll be on March 22nd, 2025, and they've invited the other local cities to participate. As such, an interlocal agreement has been drafted between the cities of Waco, Hewitt, Lacey, Lakeview, Belle Meade, and Woodway to partake in the event and share the costs of disposal services. According to Waco, Woodway can estimate its portion to cost approximately $110 to $130 per household, which will allow for 192 participants, totaling $23,040, which has generally been the designated funds allocated for this event. I reviewed the last 3 years, and they're all varying. But this year, we do have $12,000 budgeted, and that's assuming 192 people participate. That's your $23,040 figure. But in that 500 fund, there's considerably more money to pull from.
Could you explain that again? Because we're budgeted for $12,000. Is that what you estimate the usage is going to be? Is that what you?
That's what was estimated. That's where they got the 23,000 number. We have 12,000 budget. I think we spent 11,000. Don't quote me on that.
Last year.
So we budgeted about the same this year. But that's what they're projecting.
So then where would it come from?
Where would it come from as well?
Right, that was my question
I
wanted to have before this meeting. So we have 12 budgeted, we've got nearly double that. Where does it come from? It all pulls from one fund. It's not listed on here, and that's why I wanted clarification before the meeting. So I can tell you where we're gonna pull it from. But it's a fund specifically allocated for this, and there's X dollars in it. I don't have that figure, but there's enough to cover up to $23,040, which is what they're proposing in the event we even have that many folks participate.
So we have the money for it. Okay.
And I guess my question is, I guess we had 192 last year, which was a big success over what some of these other cities had. They're figuring that $110, $130 per person that shows up. We only have 150 show up. It'll be less, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed.
I don't know how many folks are hanging on to old batteries and oil and things, all the things of that nature that this is the day for, I think. Well, other things probably happen to them, but in any case, this is the designated day.
My neighborhood, we get together and I have a pickup truck and everybody, I just stick it out front and say, fill it up, and me and someone else goes that day and takes it under one. So in some ways we get a little skewed there, but you know, sometimes people will say, yeah, I've got one item here to stick in your truck. So, you know, it's just something that we do. It's a good event. It's something that there has been years in the past we've skipped, and I know citizens are not happy about it when we skip it. It's expensive. You know,
there'll be a lot of communication, I'm sure, about this day to remind people.
Yes, that's an important thing.
To bring it up.
You know, also wonder, is there ways that we can recommend groups to take their stuff together like I do in my neighborhood? We don't do it because we knew that it would save money. It was just more from the standpoint of neighbors helping out neighbors. And I didn't realize we was billing under a per person that brings it. So, you know, in the future, I've got some Waco water bills that I pay. I might be bringing it there so Woodway didn't get hit. Pay taxes there too. But yeah, this is something we've got to do. And, you know, at some time we might look at other ways that we could save the city some money, because it is an expensive thing.
Any other comments, discussion, questions? Does March 22nd work for everybody? I guess that's the day that everybody else is doing it. So
yeah,
we don't have
any option there.
But,
and we usually supply the city of Waco with some employees to help out that messy job.
It's a great event. I'm glad we can bring that service to our residents.
You did say 22nd, right?
Yep. Yes, sir, March 22nd. And we will be putting this out on our social media outlets, newsletter, etc., between now and then to remind folks of the day.
Good deal. All right, Council, if there's no further discussion on this item, I'll hear a motion on item number 7, please.
I move that we enter into an interlocal agreement about Hazardous Waste Day.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Seconded.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. All right. Mark your calendars. March 22nd. Item number 8, discussion and consider action on entering into an agreement with Walker Partners LLC to provide engineering services in connection with the Tater Hill Ground Storage Tank Rehabilitation Project in an amount not to exceed $48,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 8, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Walker Partners is here with us tonight. They've submitted a proposal to provide professional engineering services to the City of Woodway in connection with the Tater Hill Ground Storage Tank Rehabilitation Project. And this project came about a few years ago. TCEQ visited us and determined there was a number of things that were flagged that would need to be repaired or replaced to allow us to remain in compliance with their standards. The two tanks that we finished at the end of the fiscal year last year, that was part of that project. This is another one of their items. And the engineering on this is your $48,000. And the total amount budgeted is $500,000. That's for specs, bids, project management, inspections, etc. But that's the overall scope of the project, and they're here to speak on anything further if you have any further questions.
Who's our friend from Walker Partners? How are you doing, sir? Welcome. Any questions for the manager or Walker Partners? Is this fund? I do have one. Is this fund in here? Is that for all the storage tanks, or is that just for this project?
Just for one.
That's just for this project alone.
Wow, it's expensive.
We actually, the way that we broke it up and piecemealed the last two together, if you might remember, we saved several hundred thousand dollars.
That's what I was asking.
And the majority of that was ARPA funds that we used. Mm-hmm. So even better that I don't dare to say free money, but it was federal money that came down through the COVID era that we all remember. But this one's coming out of our piggy.
Okay.
I just have a general question. Is maybe it's a Captain Obvious comment, but I mean, we have an engineer on staff, and is there any reason why some of these engineering things are bid out rather than handled in-house?
I don't know if we're qualified.
The best way I would answer it, yes. It just depends on the scope of... we do some things in-house, but they're pretty minimal. The heavy lifting, historically, we've outsourced for several reasons.
I don't know if our staff are, have the qualifications for something like this either.
Like we did a lot of electrical engineering on the other two tanks, and there's several varieties of a PE, and depends on what the scope of the project calls for. Just really, it's a needs based, and we've assigned or outsourced as we saw fit, just based on the call of the question or the call of the proposal, the scope.
I see. So,
That's pretty vague and as broad as you can.
Yeah. I know when Yosh.
Well, thank you.
I know when Yosh was here.
I would, and also I'll add that a large portion of this fee also is contributed to construction administration and also construction inspection. So as a part of this, we'll do the design and we'll put together the project manual and the drawings for the project. And then we'll also facilitate construction and also with that have an inspector that's on site verifying that all the work is done according to the specifications and up to all manufacturers' recommendations. So there's more to it than just, setting up the initial bid documents. There's also on-site inspections that will happen on a daily and weekly basis to ensure that everything's done the way that it needs to, and also address anything else that is found while we're in construction.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know when Yosh was the city manager years ago, he had bragged that one reason we had brought on a city manager was so we could do more in-house stuff. I don't know if we're doing as much as we did then or if there's reasons or whatever, but I just remember that was one of his little things that he liked to say, look what we're doing, you know, to save the citizens some money. He was big on, I mean, all of we have good city managers, but that was just one of the things that he had been saying was, look what we're doing to save money.
Any other questions or comments, please? Okay, I will hear a motion on item number 8 for the entering into the agreement with Walker Partners.
I move that we approve an agreement with Walker Partners LLC to provide engineering services in connection with the Tater Hill ground storage tank rehabilitation project in an amount not to exceed $48,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Do I have a second?
I second it.
It's been seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. Thank you, sir. Item number 9 is discussion and consider action on entering into an agreement with STV Incorporated to provide engineering services in connection with the city's wastewater master plan in an amount not to exceed $259,380 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith. Can I get a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, number 9.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The City of Woodway is seeking to enhance its wastewater planning efforts to ensure the efficiency and the reliability of its wastewater collection system through the year 2045. STV Incorporated, the engineer surveyor, has proposed to develop a comprehensive hydraulic model for the city's wastewater collection system. Using the InfoWorks ICM calibrated with flow monitoring data. This model will assess system and lift station capabilities, identify future system improvements, and establish a wastewater capital improvement plan to guide long-term infrastructure planning and investment. And Mr. Scott Wetzel is present if there's any additional questions for STV.
Great. Thank you for being here, sir. Just a point of clarification on the agenda form here. The staff recommendation is to not exceed this amount, right?
Correct.
It says to exceed on right here, so I just want to be sure. You're not going to go over this amount, is what
not
you're saying?
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Okay. Making sure. Where's the additional $9,000 coming from? Which fund will that come out of, Mr. Manager?
According to Brenda, that 504 fund also has a large amount of money in it that this project is being pulled from, just kind of like the other example that I gave. This originally came in about $300,000, and it was negotiated down to the price that you see here, which is still at $9,380 over the $250,000 budget, but they came down considerably on that price for us. And again, according to Brenda, we have the funds available. And this being a capital outlay item, yes, it is a high cost, but if it helps us plan for the next 20 years, There was a study done that put together this. It identified that this main sewer line that we've all been experiencing so much trouble with, that was identified by a model such as this. But this will be an updated, help us find weaknesses, monitor flowing, water, stormwater, wastewater,
growth,
map the system, yeah, just let us better plan with data driven feedback rather than, well, we think this line's about this old. It'll all be very scientific, which is what we need if we're going to be good stewards of public funds and have to spend terrible amounts of money on replacing infrastructure in the future. This will just help us make better and more informed decisions.
Sewer lines that was built 60 years ago are not the same standard that they have now. And we have a lot of 60-year-old sewer lines. So, and we're on shifting soil. So this would help you figure out where it's bad.
Okay. Well, if there's no further questions, sounds like we've got the funding for it. I will hear a motion on item number, where are we? 9.
I move we enter an agreement with STV Incorporated to provide engineering services in connection with the city's wastewater master plan in an amount not to exceed $259,380.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Council. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I know you'll do a good job for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council, we're moving into the consent agenda at this time. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Council, you have the consent agenda in front of you, items 10A and B. Are there any items that you'd like removed for separate discussion?
No.
No, 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 no. Great. All righty. Well, we'll move to item number 11, and I'll hear a motion, please, on approving the consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved as written. Thank you, Council. Council, you'll be happy to know that we actually do not have an executive session for item number 12.
So wonderful.
We will not be recessing for that. More information coming in a future meeting. So you can just scratch that out.
Okay.
So we'll move straight down to the manager reports. So, Mr. Manager, what updates do you have for us, sir?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Might shock you, I actually don't have anything.
Wonderful.
I did have some good points to touch on, but our great staff covered it in the Family Center and the Pavilion and Arboretum update, so no need for to have to listen to me a second time. So, but all good things.
Well, there is actually one update that he's not going to tell you about, but I'll tell you, Council. Mr. Manager, you celebrated a big birthday this weekend, oh, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's right.
Big 4-0.
I told him I wasn't going to make us sing to him, but I did threaten it, but no. I did want to make sure that we recognized his birthday, so happy birthday, Mr. Manager.
Thank you.
Before we end, y'all did y'all work out Kevin Snow's issues?
I think we've got one more item.
Hmm?
We have one more item first.
Okay.
Item 14 is City Council reports. Does anybody have any updates or briefings that they'd like to share with the council from any of your groups?
I'm swallowing.
Councilwoman. Go ahead. Go ahead, Janelle.
I was just going to say, David pretty well covered what you discussed at the PNC meeting last time, and there will be a PNC meeting tomorrow night.
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
Well, we had, I think, a pretty good Parks and Recreation committee meeting the other night, last week, and it did come up a question about the Family Center, and I told them that I would, bring that back to you all so we could talk about it. And I know that there's things that we need to do, and having city manager and his staff continue looking at, you know, some of the things that we had looked at in the past. And so I didn't have an answer for them at that point. And I don't think we've come to a consensus as to what it is that we should do. But I do think that it is something that, that's going to keep simmering under, you know, if you will, if we don't talk about it. I know we don't have it on the agenda to talk about tonight, so I'm not going to speak any more to it, but I did want you all to know that. And one of the other things that I talked to them about was, and it's fortunate that we did have people here today that were talking about what volunteers will do. So I had talked to them about what I've done in my previous post with volunteers, and they will do a lot of stuff. They just want us to ask. Oftentimes, they don't know how to engage with the city and what's legal, what isn't legal. But as Van stood up and said, if you guys want us to do something, we'll do it, and we'll pay for it, and we'll make it happen. And so, and that's what I talked to them a little bit about, is being advocates for, as a committee member, being advocates for the parks and what they could possibly do. When they're in the general conversations with people about how to make parks better, you know, and I don't expect Woodway, and I don't expect them to do the things that we did in Indianapolis, but I did explain to them how that program that we had there was extremely lucrative and extremely beneficial to the park system. And so I was really happy to hear our guests talk about, you know, the things that they're willing to do to help Woodway and to help our park system, because they are there. They're ready to help. I would suspect it just takes some cultivation of these relationships legally and the things that we can do. And so sponsorships and naming rights and things of that nature, those are all legal things that we would have to deal with. And, of course, with our counsel here, he would give us guidance on what we can and cannot do, I'm sure, as far as those kinds of things are concerned. So I was happy to hear that.
Well, in connection with what you just said, John, I was going to ask the mayor if there's any way we can get this on the next agenda to maybe dive into it a little bit deeper, since there is an active interest and there seems to be a real need for additional space.
Mr. Shaw, do you happen to know, and tell me if I'm out of bounds and we'll move on, but do you happen to know what the policy is on city accepting volunteer labor?
It depends on, it's largely a liability question. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the nature of what it is the public participant wants to do.
Yeah.
There are some things that, you know, the city should only rely on professionals for, period.
Yep.
You know, there's other things that come to mind, like trail clearing and things that I'm sure John said with the Park Scouts, that often it's volunteer groups that do a lot of that work. So it just depends on what it is we're talking about. The
okay.
What we're talking about.
Yeah. That would all have
it's
to be
broad a question to
that would all have to be vetted first, depending on the scope of what
could,
we're
could that be worked out with some sort of liability waiver?
Depends on the well, if you log it says it depends.
It really does. Yeah.
There are some things again, just the city or any kind of governmental entity can't or shouldn't farm out.
I see.
And there are other, and largely only about professional services, anything that require a license to perform.
Sure.
Even if one of the volunteers has that license. You wouldn't want a volunteer lawyer showing.
Yep.
You wouldn't want a
yep.
volunteer engineer building a bridge.
Yep.
You wouldn't want, you know, things like
funny
that.
Funny you should say that.
But there's other things that absolutely, if we can get our community involved,
yeah.
there's ways to make that happen.
Wonderful. Mr. Manager, could you push this topic to P&Z for their recommendation and then have it come to us? That's the proper way
parks.
To do this. Parks, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Have it go to P&R. And have them make a recommendation on the future of the old family center, and then at the next meeting or whenever it comes back to us, we can discuss.
Maybe we can have the pickleball people involved on that meeting so way they can help.
Well, all of our board meetings are open to the public.
I understand, but if they don't know, you know, especially the parks, doesn't get as much attention as
all,
we well know.
All board meetings are now published on social media. They go out on blast. It's.
I don't think we record. You know, we don't. We only record these for YouTube.
For parks.
But But there's still out there. As far as public
audible.
Information.
Yeah. 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 There's audio. There's audio recordings of the parks.
Okay. But the main thing is you don't want to get them before, afterwards. You want to make sure they understand. And like you said, if we put it on social media, that there's going to be a
focus. Yeah, all of our
with
marketing.
With the agenda, that might help.
All of our marketing now is digital. So, okay. Any other reports? Mr. Keeston, anything?
No, sir.
Great. Everybody good? All right. Item number 15, consider action on adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Moved and seconded. Thank you. We are adjourned at 6:55 p.m. Thank you, right. Council.